Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how do we entice our children to bedtime? How do we make bedtime an experience to look forward to rather than having our children procrastinate? And particularly now as we're in this very busy time when everybody is getting ready for holiday shopping and all kinds of errands that we have to run, and we want everything to run smoothly. But somehow or other, our children seem to know when it is that we want them to go to bed, and somehow or other, they find ways to procrastinate. My guests this evening have answers to this dilemma in their wonderful book, a book of bedtime stories, and they call it Bedtime Tales, T-A-I-L-S. Now, Bedtime Tales is a read-to-me tale. And Bedtime Tales author Susan Master is a graduate of Kutztown University with a Master of Education in elementary school, and she taught for 20 years in the Bethlehem schools. And the illustrator of this lovely book called Bedtime Tales is Anne Cross, who is an illustrator who developed her techniques both in Germany, where her husband was stationed, and here in Penarjul, under the guidance of Robert Doney. Welcome to WDIY.
Thank you, Ellie. We're happy to be here.
Well, Thank you.
I was really so impressed with this lovely book, the pictures, the illustrations, and the concept that here's a book coming right at the time when we're so busy shopping and doing all our errands. And Susan Master, how did you get this idea to write a book that would help children go to sleep? And the other question is, does it really work?
It should be that easy. However, the idea started with my own child, Aaron, and I might add my only child. And we would have a ritual at night together where we would sing songs, we would rock on the rocking chair, we would then say goodnight to Mr. Bear and all his books and so on. And still I could tell he just wasn't tired enough to put his head down and go to sleep. So we started talking about animals that we saw in our yard that very day. And luckily we saw quite a few, rabbits and squirrels and chipmunks and maybe a mouse if we were lucky. Sometimes they would come out during the day. We had deer in the back of our yard, and we still do. So we were lucky in that respect that there was a variety of animals. And I asked him point blank, I said, where do you think the rabbit sleeps? Do you think he has a bed and he has a pillow like we do? And he wasn't so sure. So that started a tale that I started to tell about how I knew of where a rabbit would sleep in a den or in a warren, I believe they call it correctly. I could be wrong, but and then also it gave us the incentive to look up in books where animals would sleep and how they would sleep. So this was how the idea started. And actually one night as I'm walking out of his room, I believe he was about 3 years old, Bedtime Tales hit me, T-A-I-L-S. Having been a teacher for many years and working with young children, I taught first grade mostly, I knew about bedtime tales, and there were many children's books that were available, but none exactly like I envisioned that very night.
And were these explorations of the habitats of animals, were they helpful? Was Aaron more willing to go to sleep?
He seemed to be comforted by the fact that the squirrels might be sleeping in the tree in a nest that they made with their babies. And the book shows how animals live during the day and then how they sleep wherever they sleep at night. So that's something that that grew from the original idea. And
you know, what I was interested in, you not only stress in the book, it's not only where the animals live and how they prepare for sleep and how they prepare their nests and their sleeping right. places, but I was also impressed with the fact that it was not only moms who were involved. It was not only the mother mole or the mother robin, but right. the dads were involved.
Right.
The dads had a role in this story.
Well, in my investigation, Ann and I both needed to investigate animals to make sure that we were correct in what we were writing and what Ann was drawing on the pages. So we made sure that we knew that this was the correct way that this animal went to bed, and this and the father took care of this one and not so much the mother. And I thought that was kind of neat, that it was a shared responsibility.
And Anne, how did you become involved in this whole project as the illustrator? And I must say, the illustrations are wonderful.
Well, thank you.
You really want to pet the animals if you could, and they are they're not photographs, but they the illustrations kind of come at you, and you want to touch them and pet them.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
how
you.
Did you become involved?
I received a call from Susan. Saying that she was interested in doing a children's book, that she had, this was her big dream. She had been in an art gallery where I had some work. Actually, I was having some work printed, and it was evidently out on a table, and she saw my artwork and asked if she could have my number. And so we chatted on the phone. We made a lunch date. And when we met, we hit it off immediately.
And how did you become involved in art, Anne? Were you always involved in art, or was it this? How did this become an interest of yours?
I've always been interested, as long as I can remember. You know, the old story about getting in trouble in school because you're doodling and you're not doing your schoolwork. And my grandmother was very instrumental. My grandma Cecil. I did a correspondence course when I was in the eighth grade.
How did that come about, that correspondence course?
Grandma saw an advertisement in a magazine, and it was called Draw Me, and it was a picture of a profile of a woman, and she said, you know, coaxed me into, why don't you draw it? We'll send it in and see if you're accepted. So I did, and I was accepted. Grandma paid for it, and it took a year. It was a correspondence course for a year. And then from there, in high school, of course, the musicals, the plays, all that for the backdrops, the scenery. And then I went to the community college, and I have an associate's in art.
Well, we're very glad that you're here, and we're so glad, Susan, that you found and discovered her, because it sounds like a match made in heaven. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this evening we're talking about a wonderful book called Bedtime Tales, T-A-I-L-S, which comes at a time when everybody is so busy doing things, we need ways to find ways to entice our children to go to bed easily. And my guests this evening, again, are Susan Master, a lifelong resident of Bethlehem, a teacher for 20 years in the Bethlehem school system, and Anne Cross, who has done the illustrations. And we're just delighted that you got this book published in time for the holidays. So tell me, did you get this book going quickly, Susan?
No, Anne is laughing. Unfortunately, it was an idea that I had when my son was three. And believe it or not, on Monday, the 26th of November, he will be 26. So there, all of you out there who think that you have this idea and you want to carry it through, I was determined. And when I met Anne, we became a partnership. And we decided that this was a process, and we were going to learn about this wonderful process together. And we are still learning.
But, you know, I think that's a very important concept, because many of us have ideas, and we put it aside, and we don't have time, or we let it go, and somehow or other, we think perhaps we're not going to get it done,
right.
And we put it aside, and something happens to make that idea come into, say, wow, I can get that done. I can accomplish it. What was the trigger for you that said, I can get it done?
The trigger was that a friend of mine published her first book. And when I saw that, and it was a wonderful book. In fact, I've given a number of copies away. I don't even own one at this point, uh-huh. So I need to get another one. However, it just hit me that, Susan, you've got to do this. And that was my jumping off point. And luckily, Anne came into being at that time, and we decided that we would do this together. And it worked out well.
Well, so you found someone else who had made the decision,
right,
to create a book, and there's something within you that said, I can do that too.
Right.
So you took charge of your life.
I took charge, and I'm so happy, and I'm so proud that I did that. It's a real accomplishment. Having been a teacher and being around children's books all my life, I now can say, this is ours. Anne and I have developed this together.
Well, I think this is a wonderful, and the book is absolutely outstanding, and because it has wonderful illustrations, Anne. You just,
mm-hmm.
as I said earlier, you want to pet them, even though they're in the book, and they have a calming influence, I think, on children, and we're going to talk about how these stories can help children to calm down and really become part of the process of going to sleep as the animals do, which you paint so vividly in your book, Bedtime Tales, TAILS, when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedarcrest College School of Adult and Graduate Education, offering graduate programs and professional certificates to further your education and strengthen your resume. Learn more at sagecedarcrest.edu, sage.cedarcrest.edu.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host, marriage and family therapist, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. This evening, we're talking about a very delightful book that has just come out. It's called Bedtime Tales. And the author is Susan Master, a lifelong resident of Bethlehem, a graduate of Kutztown University, and a teacher for 20 years in the Bethlehem school system. And she is the author and a wonderful illustrator, Anne Cross, who have created this charming book for children to be read to. It's for moms and dads to read to their children, or for very bright first, second, and third graders to read themselves. And it is simply a charming book and very, very restful. Now, I wonder, Susan, did these stories, or the look for the search for animals, did they have a calming effect on Aaron?
They really seem to. It's not a panacea, but he really seemed to relax when we talked about how the different animals would prepare for bed, possibly, and where they would sleep. And even though they would sleep under the ground, they had fur to keep them warm. They didn't need a cover, things like that. And it really seemed to help him fall asleep much easier.
So, and you mentioned that Aaron had ADD or ADHD.
Yes, he was very hyperactive as a young child, and this was one way that I seemed to find to calm him in the evening, because a lot of other things worked also, but it was a whole combination, and this seemed to be the last thing that we did before we went to bed. We rocked in the rocking chair, and we talked about the animals.
And one of the things I like about the book, that each of the animals has their own way of curling up at night. And each of the animals has the protection of their mom and dad, whether it's the mother robin and also the father robin.
Right, right. And we tried to emphasize the tail. how the tails would look at night.
Spell that.
T-A-I-L-S.
How the tails would look.
How the tails would look, and which is why we came out with the idea, let's call it bedtime tails.
Well, talk about that. Talk about the difference in the tails.
Well, some of the little mice and the mole, perhaps, they would curl up so that they would be entwined with some of the other babies in the nest,
the
perhaps,
squirrels.
And the squirrels with their tails and the fluffiness of them. And that was another point that it was a learning process, too, to talk about, well, this one has a fluffy tail and this one has a tail that's all pink and doesn't look like it has any fur on.
So what you did was to determine how the animals use their tails, T-A-I-L-S, to encircle and comfort and draw close their own nest of family. And what was anyone that particularly interested you that caught your attention, Susan?
I love chipmunks.
Ah.
I think that's my favorite animal. And Ian illustrated the chipmunks so beautifully. Out of all of these animals in the book, the deer and the mole and the mouse and I love mice too. I'm one of the few who loves mice.
Well, I have to. But I'm not sure I can share that with you, but I can share it in the book.
Okay, you do that. But Ian illustrated the way they sleep so beautifully. And it's exactly what I had envisioned, to find an artist that would interpret my dream.
And what did you find out about the way mice slept with their tails?
Well, I did find out that mice burrow just about anywhere. If you've got an old couch, they don't care. They'll just burrow about anywhere. Sorry. I did a lot of research online as far as the burrowing of what animals, the chipmunks, the groundhogs, and how, where they stored their food, how they stored their food.
And how did you find out about their tails? I know of, I imagine that there's information about how they store their food, the kind of food they eat, but how did you find out about their tails, and how do chipmunks go to bed at night with their tails?
They wrap the young ones with their tails. When they get older, there is a chamber above the little ones. So the little ones are down below, and the mom and dad are right. It's like a first and second floor.
Huh. A split level.
That's it. But in the beginning, when they're first born, they are protected with their tails.
Now, there's one group of animals that have a potty. Which one is that?
The groundhog.
The groundhog. Tell us about that.
Well, one particular area of their den is a potty. They're very clean.
Well, the reason I mention that is that if a parent has a child who is in the process of being toilet trained or potty trained, they can show this story about, here you have the groundhog, is that correct?
Yes.
The groundhog who has a particular area for the potty.
So that's
a learning as well. It's number one, not only relaxing, but helping them to learn that groundhogs do it, they can do it also.
That's correct.
It's a great lesson, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great lesson.
Right.
Is there a particular story that that Aaron found appealing, or a particular animal that he really enjoyed?
I think it was perhaps the rabbit, I think, might have been his favorite. This is something that calmed him, in the respect that he, just like a lot of young children, they go through stages where they have these fears. And I remember specifically one evening he thought there was a dinosaur looking in his window. So, again, this was something where we could sit and talk about, is this a real animal, or is this an animal that we would see in our yard, or perhaps this is a made-up, a fictional animal. He was afraid of lightning and thunder at some point. So this is another way that we would calm him, and we would just talk about this. So it really worked.
It really worked. And did he have a special animal that he was had preference for? Did he like dogs or rabbits or?
Well, he liked the rabbits, and then we had a dog at the time, Buffy. We had a Cocker Spaniel, and Buffy was my dog before I had Aaron. So I'm one to spoil animals. So Buffy and I were very close, but. In fact, I even hired a trainer to make Buffy adjust to this new child that was crawling around on the floor.
Ah.
So it was quite
now
interesting.
That's very interesting to have a trainer for the animal to adjust to the new sibling.
Well, trainers also teach people, too. Ah. I mean, that was most important, that I knew exactly what to do to make Aaron and the dog
Compatible,
exactly.
Aaron and Buffy became very close?
Somewhat. I mean, some animals, Buffy was a Cocker Spaniel, and some animals adjust to a new child in the family. I believe truly that any animal can adjust. It's just that there are different ways of adjustment, different means of adjustment. Not that they're best friends necessarily, but they coexist.
Is it like something like sibling rivalry?
It could be. Very well. Very very much so. I do know that there are people. In fact, we introduced Buffy the dog in a field to Aaron the baby when we first brought him home from the hospital. Now, I know that's going to an extreme perhaps, but sending a blanket ahead of time so that Buffy would get the smell of the baby. But we introduced them at a field, and then we went home. So that was one thing that we tried, and it seemed to work fine.
Well, there are beautiful illustrations of Buffy the Cocker Spaniel. And, Susan, I wonder if you'd read a little bit about Buffy, which was Aaron's favorite, or they coexisted?
They coexisted.
They coexisted.
Was not the favorite.
Okay.
But, Buffy, our dog, had a wonderful home. Plenty to eat and green grass to roam, lots of exercise romping about, much love shown with a kiss on his snout. Shaggy hair with a bath here and there, plenty of family who all showed they cared. As Buffy grew older, he then became blind, still loving and happy and ever so kind. But he needed more care from his doting mother, like a lift on the bed from someone or other. For despite his bed on the kitchen floor, he scratched nearly nightly on Mom and Dad's door. And up in the bed, he cuddled and laid, and this is where he slept and stayed. Did Mom and Dad mind? I would say no, for where else would Buffy, our spoiled dog, go? With a scratch to his ear and a kiss on his head, he was snoring in no time in their cozy bed.
I think many people might relate to that.
I think so.
And again, the illustrations are just delightful. And the stories are written in poetry. But in a poetry that just captures you. You're not conscious of the poetry. You're conscious of the content and the delight of the story. And it is truly delightful. Now, how can people get a hold of this book? Because it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people to have a present for new parents, grandparents to read to their children, for older children to read to their siblings. How can they get a copy of it, Anne?
Well, on December 7th from 4 to 7 p.m., we'll be up at the Friendship Art Gallery and Silver Images in Bath for a book signing. The owner's name is Debbie Rice, and she has some books up there as we speak. I am working on a website. That's not up and running yet.
And when it's up and running, what will it be called?
It will be called bedtimetales.net. It will be all lowercase. And if you are interested in the book, I believe you have the number.
Well, Debbie Rice's number is 610-837-8993 if you're interested in going to the book signing, which is at the Friendship Art Gallery and Silver Images in Bath, Pennsylvania. And for instructions, 610-837-8993, and that's going to be in Bath. Well, you have presented a wonderful book at a time when people really need something for their children to calm them, to get them ready for bed, and to relax them in a very special, relaxing way. I want to thank you, Susan Master, author of Bedtime Tales, and Anne Cross, illustrator, for developing a book that will lull our children into wanting to go to bed so that they can hear the stories and to see the pictures of these wonderful animals who go to bed in their own little beds, and to help our children find their own special places to seek shelter and rest. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that children can relate to animals and their sleepiness, and help our children to seek a restful night. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.